Our Heavenly Father, we are awestruck by the fact that you are the only God that can touch us. The Bible says the gods of wood and of our mind cannot reach us. They are something we may think about and we may worship and we may idolize. But those thoughts cannot hold us. That wood cannot summon strength to us. None of it can save us. But you touched us. You physically touched us. You mentally and emotionally touched us. You spiritually revolutionized our life. We are so grateful tonight for a God that is touched by the infirmities of our life and was so much so that he came here to prove it. You have nothing left to prove. Lord, you are glorified. You are everything, Lord, to us and so much more. And so we worship you this evening and pray, God, that you would take us deeper into your arms and into the touch of God, that you would touch us, Lord, in our thinking, in our perspective, and in our eyesight, that what we see, Lord, is what you're doing. Lord, and we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I know everybody at one time or another has been out into this, we'll say you've been at a mall and you're shopping. And because we always shop for ourselves a little bit more excitable, we're shopping for ourselves. But we have to take a detour for a moment. And everybody knows that's not a place of fellowship, okay? It's a place to go in, take care of things, leave again, etc. But you get to the door and you really need to enter that facility. And there's a lovely sign on the door that says, out of order. Now, are you one of those people that goes in the room to see if what they wrote was true? Because you got to figure there's a lot of people that go, well, it can't really mean that. Maybe it's one, but it can't be everything. So you go in there, and you see water and other things that are decorating the floor, as it were. And you know there's a problem, right? It's out of order. It cannot be a serviceable moment for you. How many know this world is out of order? I mean, it is so out of order, Roto-Rooter won't even show up. There's nothing they can do. It's absolutely dismantling as we speak. And I know so many people say, well, the Lord hasn't come yet. Well, he's closer than when he said he was coming. And beside, he is not willing and he should perish, of course. So he is waiting for all that can come to him. So I thought, if you had an out of order sign on this world, what would that tell you? It would tell you it's not functioning correctly, because everything God does is perfect. So if something in this world is not functioning properly, it's because they threw God out or they're refusing to listen to him. That's the real reason. And when I was thinking about that, and the title is The New Order, the world we live in, you can tell the order is all askew. What's one of the things that they go after and after and they keep going after? They keep going after marriage because it's the cornerstone of any society. And enacted by the breath of God. It's a slap in the face to God, is what it is. And it is, in effect, trying to make it obsolete. That's what they're trying to do. There's also a lot of things going on where they're trying to merge the spiritual thought with the political thought. Now, I believe in being politically active as a Christian. I believe our words should be out there. I believe our testimony should be out there. And we should stand up for truth. But did you know that God is not in favor or against Proposition 8 out in California. He's against homosexuality, period. He doesn't stand behind that. He stands behind these. But there's a great effort to merge the religious thought with the spiritual and then the political. Why? So they can take the machinery of the politician and bring in their own beliefs. That's what they're trying to do. And it all sounds good, and they even seem nice, some of them. Don't be surprised. Don't be fooled by some of their demeanor. Because when they throw God out, and they have to in order to do this, do not be deceived. You realize that politics had a role in the death of Jesus, even though obviously he gave his life for us and it was imperative that he give his life. Pontius Pilate bowed to the wills of the people. He was what I call a weenie. And he paid for it. He really did. His mind was never the same. They talk a lot about, in some of the different, I've heard some of the presidents and different speakers through the years talk about, have you heard this, the one world order that's coming, the new world order? Their idea is to pull everything together, you know, because we're all going to the same place anyway, right? We all have the same God. So in their mind, hey, why don't we just pull it all together? Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Couldn't be more wrong. They tried that at Babel. Didn't work then either. But when they try to do this, what they're trying to do is to strip the individuality of individuals and people, and they're mostly trying to take God's fingerprints off of his own creation. That's what they're trying to do. And the message tonight in Revelation is that God is going to take his own fingerprints off this creation. And that is the saddest thing of all. Turn to Revelation. How many love Revelation? It's a hard one to understand. That's right. But you know, it's like the old saying, I looked at the back of the book and we win. So therefore, I like the way it ends. In the first verse, this of course is John the Apostle, who got all oiled up and then started writing. And he writes some remarkable things here. I'm going to read it in your text there. First verse, and then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his God, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eye. No Kleenex in heaven, folks. It's not necessary. No tears. There's not going to be anything to cry about. God has an order, and he has a defined specification in everything he does. It may look like it just pops out of nowhere, but it doesn't. Everything he does is thought out, planned, and executed with grace and with love and with a divine purpose. The word order in the American Heritage Dictionary means a logical or comprehensible arrangement among the separate elements of a group. In other words, we have four groupings here of chairs, and they're all in a certain individual order. They comprise one whole picture when you look at it from one view, but they're still individually in order. And that's the way God sets up his world, his plan. Individually, it's in order, but the greater picture, of course, is totally in order. It's like the days of creation. Each day was complete in itself. That's why at the end of each day, he said, and it was good, meaning it was satisfactory to him. But it's still built to his fullest creation and his fullest purpose as it went along. So he has an order, and he wanted mankind to be grateful for it. And that's all he really wanted. He just wanted a thank you. My sister and I sang in a wedding 30 years ago. I'm still waiting for a thank you. We had to go quite a reasonable part away, learn all kinds of new songs we didn't know. Never got a thank you. Of course, as Christians, we do it for the Lord. God's just looking for a thank you instead of everything else. He hasn't found it here for the most part. And sin, obviously, got in the order, and God had to take care of it. You know that God had a backup generator when sin blew the pilot light out? He was prepared. Calvary wasn't an afterthought. It was already ordained. It's like the gentleman that came to our house. We live southeast, and he was Jehovah Witness. And he said, well, don't you want to be part of this earth? I said, hey, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of this earth. I want to be with the Lamb. These were his exact words. I never read that. It's because you don't read the Bible. Next time he came, he had a couple of his elders with him. Learn the Bible. And so that was interesting. But God has an order. The fact that we don't fully understand it doesn't mean he doesn't have one. It just means we haven't figured it out yet. But that's okay, because God will show it. So, before he can bring the new order, what does he have to do? Dismantle the old. Do you think it breaks his heart when he sees, and he sees it because he's in eternal present, the sun turn red and a third of the ground and everything that's going to happen? Do you think it breaks his heart? I do. Again, there's no tears in heaven, but I do think it really makes him sad that way, because of all the work he did and the beautiful work he did. And it was beautiful, wasn't it? It was good. So it says here, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this heaven doesn't mean the throne of God, by the way. Okay, God's not changing doors. He's not getting a new address. This is talking about the stellar host, the atmosphere, and that part of God's creation. But he says, and I've said this before, the newness here, the word means freshness. And you know that as far as spiritually is concerned, this world is about as stale as Los Angeles is with smog. You can't even see through it, is what I've been told. It's brown. I mean, does anybody worry about their lungs out there? I don't know. I certainly would. But anyhow, but it says here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. What does that mean? That means changes from one condition to another. It dies. It's done. It's obsolete. The first earth, the first heavens are going to be gone. Totally gone. The word first, protos, means to be first in rank and influence. It's a superlative, like good, better, best. God does everything best. And that's what this was. When God created the world, he created it perfect. It was the best. It's also like a prototype, same type of word, same root. That meaning, a prototype is when you take something that's like a model for something else that's coming. Because everything in the Bible is in seed form in Genesis, so it's going to show God's far-reaching effects. And when we see in the book of Genesis what God created in the first world that we know of, that we're in, imagine the next one without sin. Because we see it now and it's beautiful to us. Can you imagine what the Garden of Eden would have been like without sin? Because let me tell you, sin not only affects the person, but it affects the soil, it affects the trees, it affects every part of creation. Because it can't help but tear it down. And it doesn't function like it's supposed to. And that's what backs up. Because it's not under God's order anymore. It's under sin. And when sin reigns, what is there? Confusion and everything else. So, great thing about God is he knew the first wouldn't be the last. Because he knew he was bringing something else. I'm so glad about that, because he changed our vile creatures into the newness that he gave us. Why would he leave us in this state and in this place? He wouldn't do that. You wouldn't put new wine in old wineskins, would you? The Bible says. So would he put his new life and leave it here in what is really a cesspool? Of course he wouldn't. He has an order to his thinking. So he says here that the first earth, which is the soil and the land and designated different from the sea and from the sky, it's going to be new. It's going to be totally new. And there's no more sea. This word thalassa means water as designated from land. Think about it for a minute. Do you know that in the book of Genesis, when God created everything, the Bible says he separated the waters from the waters? That's how the firmament, that's how the sky, that's how the land was created, that's how we're created, because we're the best portion of water. God created everything through water. If there's no water, there's no life. Look at any civilization. If their waterways dry up, they have no civilization. You have to have water. And he agrees with me, whatever that was. But when there's no more water, there's no life. And God is creating something new. He sets in order a new place. And John says, "And I saw a new heaven." In the Greek, this means he literally visually saw it. He saw it. He was on Patmos, the island. There was no cell phones. Couldn't tell anybody. But he wrote it down, thank God. He saw it. And this word means to see, and it's in perfect tense. That means it's not past tense, it's not future. It's in the perfect eternal tense. He saw it in its completeness. Imagine? I mean, how wonderful. John had to think, my, not too many people have seen this. And he's right. But he saw a visual, and God gave it to him. There's a new place and a new thing. And he even says down in the fifth verse, And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." All things. I'm glad he didn't miss one beat. He didn't miss one thing. If he created it for our pleasure, imagine what he's creating for his own pleasure. And the order of it will be phenomenal. I was thinking about the fingerprints of God in creation. Because when he created man and everything he's done, he literally was hands-on, right? Jesus, he was hands-on. And to get rid of those wonderful fingerprints out of this creation, because that's what's going to happen, can be done by fire. And this creation, when it burns up and when people are cast into the lake of fire, which they will be, so will the devil, all God's fingerprints will be gone, because this creation will be gone. All the more reason to pray. Pray for those who don't believe that. The time to believe it is before you see the flame. You know, I knew a man years ago. I used to witness to him quite a bit. And he said to me, "Oh, I'll believe in God the minute I'm in a car accident." I said, "Really? You think you're going to be aware? Maybe you're knocked unconscious. How do you know you're going to be thinking?" And he got saved. Thank God. You don't know. Be ready anytime. The fire of this world is going to be massive. You know, you see some of these fires and they look like they have personality. Even though they don't, but they certainly look like it. That backdraft when air gets to it and it just explodes and take out all this beautiful order that God created. Well, sin already did that, but God's already set it up for a wonderful order that he has coming. And we want everyone to join us Because we're going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be excited about that. You don't have to furnish it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't even have to get a bus to get there. I mean, he's got it all handled. Somebody asked me one time, and my sister said, well, what are you going to do about, the gutter system? And I said, well, because I'm only going that high when I go in the rapture, I'm hiring someone else. I said, we're going up. And it's a new order, God's newness. He doesn't use old things. He doesn't. In the first creation, he used his son. He used the cross. He used that backup generator because the lights went out. In this new creation, it's all going to be fresh. And it's not going to diminish because there's no sin to destroy it. Can't you get a little? I mean, God doesn't give us all the details because, frankly, we're probably not good with it. We run out and write a book and try to win, you know. And God knows that. He expects us to trust him by faith. John saw it by sight. I'll tell you, he may be boiled in oil, but he wouldn't have felt it this time when he saw Jesus, the one he followed. Can you imagine when he saw Jesus and the white hair? He must have, oh, I'm so glad you're still alive. Of course he is. He gave him that visual. And it's my prayer the Lord gives us visuals into the order that he has planned. Because he doesn't leave out any details. He's not going to leave out the lost. He's not going to leave out his word. He's not going to leave out the children. He won't leave out the elderly. He won't leave out families. He's not going to leave out anything because he's the God of order. And he knows how to put it together. When you think of the details of your life and all the things that God has put together, imagine how phenomenal it's been. I mean, God is so perfect down to the detail, it's amazing to me. Continues to amaze me. But that's good. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could save me, a sinner condemned, unclean. But he could do it. So let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the new order that you alone are bringing. Lord, we can see what sin has wrought in this world. And we can see, Lord, what you are going to do when you take apart your beloved creation. But we also thank you, Lord, that you've already prepared the newness, the freshness, that which you've already prepared for us to be with you forever. And we pray, Lord, for those family members and people we work with and even people that attend this church that are not positive in their own relationship to Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you'd breathe upon them with truth. We pray you'd convict by the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord, you'd liberate to the fullest and bring your word to the rescue. That, oh God, you didn't want to leave us in a cesspool. You didn't want to leave us in this place that's out of order. You wanted to take us with you and prepare a place that befits your glory and also shows us the extraordinary love that you have for us. We will never get over it, and we never want to. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the sight you gave to John the Apostle in the midst of some of the most agonizing moments of his life while his body was being buffeted and his spirit and his eyes were able to see something that blesses us to this day. And I would call that long-term effect of the grace of God. So, Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us to see beyond the confusion and chaos of this world and of our lives and to see the order that you are putting in place for your glory, for your purpose. Lord, we ask your touch on each life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we need to pray. Kathleen is home from the hospital or from the nursing facility.